Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Phoenix. Mercury get their first win of the season, 90-81. Brittany Griner, good, 19 points, 8 rebounds. Taurasi, her best game of the year, 23 points, 10 assists, went 4 of 9 from 3, and for the first time, she had only 3 turnovers this year, as she was leading the WNBA in turnovers. However, they only beat a Lynx team that hasn't won a game yet this year. Up next for the Mercury, they're home against Los Angeles Friday, 7 o'clock. Latest on the Terry McDonough arbitration case against the Arizona Cardinals. Part of that's an addendum that defamation has occurred from the Cardinals against Terry McDonough. Terry McDonough's lawyer arguing now that portion of that defamation case should be allowed out of arbitration because there's a man by the name of Jim McCarthy who does not work for the Cardinals who wrote the statement that Terry McDonough claims defamed his character. If that happens, now it's more out in broad daylight and we'll learn more about this case. The latest on the Phoenix Suns coaching search. According to KFAP's John Gambadora, Jordy Fernandez, that's the Sacramento Kings lead assistant. He had dinner with the Suns on Wednesday. Suns spoke to Nick Nurse, former Raptors head coach, yesterday. Still according to Gambadora, Doc Rivers and Frank Vogel are being interviewed today. Chris Haynes, he's of Yahoo, still saying that Kenny Atkinson and Charles Lee are candidates and the Suns will talk to them. Tonight, beginning of a long homestand, Diamondbacks Red Sox first pitch 6:40. Rookie Brandon Pfaadt will throw it against Boston for the D-backs. Chris Sale will be going for Boston. Two Vegas teams are coming to town this weekend. First tonight, Phoenix Rising are at home. They take on Vegas. That kickoff is at 7:30. Then the Las Vegas Nighthawks of the IFL come to town Saturday night, taking on the Rattlers. Both teams tied for fourth place, which is the last playoff spot. However, both teams are also one game out of first place. The first place teams are going to be on the road this weekend. It'll be NAS at Duke City, which is Albuquerque, and it'll be the Bay Area at Tucson. The Sugar Skulls are in third place. Eastern Conference Finals getting very interesting. Boston, a winner, 110-97 at home. That was Game 5. Series is now 3-2 Miami. Headed to Miami for Game 6. Four starters for Boston had 20 points in the game. That Miami Game 6, that starts tomorrow night, 5:30. Goes into overtime. Chance to eliminate the Dallas Stars. Vegas can't do it. Joe Pavelski scores a goal in overtime. Stars win 3-2. Series is now at 3-1. That Game 5 is coming up tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And finally, have you ever tried to explain to your one-year-old why that cake isn't such a good idea? Well, one-year-old, you ready? Zayim got his name spelled wrong on his cake. But that's not all. The cake says, "Happy Birthday, Yazim," even though his name's Zayim. And instead of bubbles and balloons, social media is calling it sperm cake. If you see the cake, you'll see why.
The official golf course of Doug Franz Unplugged is Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. I love that because it follows the tradition that sponsors of Doug Franz Unplugged are members of the Unplugged Army. It's just so cool that such a high-end, gorgeous golf course is there for all of us. I don't care what your skill level is. A scratch golfer will be challenged, and a golfer as bad as me is not going to be embarrassed. Go to whirlwindgolf.com and feel the wind. And tell them you're in the Unplugged Army. If you go to Bell's Nashville Kitchen for the food, you're going to be shocked what a great bar it is. And if you go to Bell's Nashville Kitchen because you want to experience a great country bar, you're going to be shocked at how great the food is. And if you want something different to do this weekend, on Sunday, head out to Bell's Nashville Kitchen, Main Street, Old Town Scottsdale, and they got the car show in which they actually shut down the street a little bit. Cars that are pre-1990, plus they've got pastries and they've got coffee, and you can walk in later for the honky-tonk brunch and have a great meal at Bell's Nashville Kitchen. You found home. Down home.
Oh my gosh. What just happened here? How did this happen? Intern McKenna, we are under an emergency situation on Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. It's Friday. Please run to the fridge. Save us. We forgot Beer Friday. But now I remember, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to the coverage of the four major sports franchises of one great American city that drops on your phone each and every weekday morning. We also cover ASU, U of A, GCU, the Rattlers, the Rising, and the Merc. This is Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. Just in the nick of time. Beer Friday. Jeff Weir Production?
Yes, sir.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, McKenna.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have to call her intern McKenna, too? Or can I just call her McKenna?
You could just, yeah, hey, that's your relationship. You do whatever you want.
Okay.
I think everybody has heard the story, but in case you're new to Doug Franz Unplugged, and poor Jeff Weir Production, because he has to hear this story repeatedly all the time. But when we first started the station, we're growing now, but when we first started the station, there were three people, CEO Chris, Jeff Weir Production, and me. So, and the door is locked all the time. We're in a temporary studio right now, and we are designing a huge room for our future in a different part of this same building that we're in. We're at the 17 in Peoria. And so with only three people, you don't need a nameplate on your door. And Jeff Weir Production went out and got himself a nameplate, and it said Jeff Weir Production, you know, on it. And I thought it was so funny because it's not like I was going to walk into another room and say, you know, is this the supply closet? Is this, oh, this is the production room. And just so there's three of us. And I loved it. So the rest of us were so cheap, we just slid our business card into the little nameplate. So it's like, hey, this is mine for now. And I only did it in case somebody's like delivering a package and they just barge into the door and we don't have a receptionist. They'll go, oh, this is Doug's room. I guess this is where I put this.
I didn't tell you that this morning. That was awfully weird. I was sitting there editing the 4-minute offense and an Amazon delivery driver came in. And it's like, I mean, this was like 5:30.
Wow.
I'm like, I didn't know Amazon delivered this early. And it was just some random guy. He wasn't an Amazon worker, but he was delivering Amazon packages.
Gamer. Either that or he stole one and he felt guilty and decided to bring it back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very odd. I've never gotten an Amazon delivery this early in the morning before.
Yeah, see, it's kind of weird being here early in the morning. So, therefore, I've always called Jeff just Jeff Weir Production to make fun of the world-famous nameplate, so if you're ever wondering. And then where it really got funny is when we were at Civlic, which is the 19th hole of Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. When I announced to everybody, and this is Jeff Weir Production, oh my gosh, 70-some-odd people gave him a round of applause. Hey, Jeff Weir Production, and everybody else was saying the same thing. And I was highly entertained by that.
I am going to auction that nameplate off one day.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Easily worth $3. Easily.
Well, that's not fair because I paid $15.
Wow. I am not going to ask the Unplugged Army to give me a nameplate because you know why? It's just going to be a little silly. But I will tell you, I think I've told you this story, so I'll tell you like lightning. It was the happiest moment of my life, other than, of course, you know, marriage and kids. You got to say that no matter what. There was one time in my life where I had a sign at Marley's. Yes. There was a sign that said, this table reserved for Doug Franz. And I was like, yeah. I mean, when they put that down on my table, it was awesome. And
that means you have a problem.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, like, waitresses knew my kids' names when the girls were like 7 and 2. You know what I mean? So, I mean, when the bartender knows your 2-year-old's name, you might be at the bar too often. But it was so cool that it said that right there. And then I could call up if I had a large group coming. Hey, it's Doug. Will you put my sign out? Because my guest might beat me there. And then I would just text the guest and say, look for my sign. And they'd walk in having no idea what that meant.
And then they would eventually have to ask, like, the bartender, I'm supposed to look for Doug's table? Oh, yeah, it's right there where it says this seat reserved for Doug Fron. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, then I will never forget. And that's an old manager that's gone now from Marley's. It doesn't matter. But I walked in one time, and somebody was going to use a table, and they used my sign. So my sign is sitting on somebody else's table, and I walk in, and I see my sign. So I sit at my table, not knowing that it wasn't my table. Like, they didn't know I was coming. I walk in, my sign's on a table. I think, well, that's awesome. They just knew I was coming. And then I sit down. Then they bring this group over, and they have to tell me to get up from my table. Like, wait, what? And they say, oh, I'm sorry. We didn't know you were coming. We just grabbed a sign. And we, you know, we have a bunch of signs. We just grabbed one and put it down here to reserve it. We didn't read this what the sign said. Wait, you just arbitrarily prostitute my sign out? What? What? And then I was fired up. But then I realized it does kind of make sense. Like, it just says reserved. They just care about it being reserved. I was heartbroken, though. I mean, it was kind of like Jesus' parable of you sat at the wrong place at the wedding. Wait, you making me move? It's my sign. Okay, you and your sign can get up because the group's here now. Okay. So, like, I'm sitting at a table and I put my sign out there and I'm sitting by myself. Like, what kind of creep does that? Hey, this is my table. I'm by myself. I'm not important, but I have a sign. That's my only sign story today. Hey, I got something here that's pretty cool. I asked you yesterday for names for what you think is a good idea for the new, and we're still months out of producing a new show on the history of sports in the state of Arizona. And when, I mean months out. And this is where I am actually being the director of sports programming. I want to get four or five of these produced and done before we air episode one. And the reason why is I don't want to be chasing our tail. I want to make sure that these are so good that we're putting a ton of time into it, and I don't want a 3 days of work, throw it on screen. I think this is going to be a special, special show. But I've asked you for titles. I am kind of beholden to something with the number 48 in it. It would be rude to say State 48. That's a great trademark. That's a great idea. The State 48 folks, you guys have earned that. I don't want to mess with that. But I want the 48 in it. And then I found out something hilarious. With commercials, the show would be 48 minutes. Now, that's funny. So I started thinking about stealing from ESPN since they steal from me. So instead of 30 for 30, it would be like 48 on the 48th. You know, something like that. I think that's kind of cool. But then I got this tweet from at Unplugged Jen. And Jen is G-E-N as in general. So this is a hardcore member of the Unplugged Army. And at Unplugged Jen tweeted, Copper State Glory. Now, that kind of grabbed me a little bit. I got to tell you, that grabbed me a little bit.
Where does the Copper State come in? Is that a nickname?
It's a nickname. Like, our official nickname is the Grand Canyon State, but we're also the Copper State.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Why the Copper State?
We have a lot of copper, or we had. Yeah. And because a lot of people steal copper here because there's all this construction going on. So that's
That's weird because back where I'm from in Tennessee, Tennessee Valley area, there's a lot of copper. They had lots of copper mines up there a long time ago.
Right. And then once they took all that, they said, where can we go next? And they came to Arizona.
Yeah.
So he went with Drama in the Desert, a history of Arizona athletes and events. I like Drama in the Desert if we were talking about the title of one show within the genre of the show. You know what I mean? Like today's episode, Drama in the Desert. But I don't like that for the entire show. And then this one is called Unplugged Legends, a rundown of sporting events and athletes from Arizona. Admittedly, I like that title a lot, Unplugged Legends. There's just one problem. There will never be a show, well, there could be one. But a show on the history of sports in Arizona. Do you know how low on the list we have to get to where I'm involved when it comes to Unplugged Legends? That's somehow injecting me into the show. And it would have to be episode, I don't know, 8,732 before you get to the Doug and Wolf show. Now that is, let's face it, 15-year run and the highest rated talk show in the history of the state. Okay, that might deserve a show history at some point, but I don't know. I don't know about you. You've got me for 2 hours every day if you want to talk history of the old show. I kind of look at it as I want old territorial cup stuff. I want why did Michael Phelps choose to live here? I want a deep dive into just the ninth inning of Game 7 of the 0-1 World Series. Like, we all know the series, but just dig – or what is Byung-Young Kim doing right now, you know? And there's so many cool things that I just don't belong. That's the only thing I can think of, is I don't belong in the cool stories. But I love your Copper State glory. I'm kind of interested in that one. So please keep giving me your ideas for the name of that show. That would interest me. And then I just want to give a. I think I feel guilty because I'm playing golf today at. Oh my gosh, where am I? At the Wigwam today. I'm playing at the Wigwam. I've been a member there for a long time. It's on the west side. And since I'm playing somewhere other than Whirlwind, I feel guilty. So I just want to give a free plug to Whirlwind. Right now, you can get on Devil's Claw for just a hair over $100 there today. There's a ton of tee times after 10 o'clock. And then there are two tee times at 3:30 today where you can get on for only $67. I don't mind golfing in the heat, okay? I'm amazed at how much beer I can drink when I just sweat it out. So I don't care that it's now officially hot. But are you kidding? $67 for that course? Only two tee times left. I feel like a bar. Only two tee times left at this price. Call now. But I care that much about Whirlwind, so I wanted to give them the free plug. Okay, other things you need to know quickly. I am doing a show on Memorial Day, and I'm taking the day off. Yes, at the same time. Jeff Weir Production is going to work really hard at putting together a show to let me have time off, but I've already interviewed a guy named Kevin Miller, who's a professor of history at GCU, to kind of get a background of Memorial Day. And then I interviewed specialist Matthew Michael Nelson at the National Cemetery in Scottsdale and talked just 5-6 minutes about the cemetery itself. I care deeply about our nation, and I appreciate so much the stories of the ultimate sacrifice and the stories of you that are family members of loved ones that have lost their life, whether it be in battle or whether we're, you know, memorializing the people that came back with stories of war that protected our nation. No matter who you are, those stories deserve to be told. So it was really interesting to be a part of that. So I want to mix in sports and Memorial Day coming up on Monday. So it's a special show. I'd love for you to watch it. I'd love for your feedback. And I'd also love, this is kind of crazy, give Jeff Weir Production, if you don't mind, a little bit of grace, because I'm just basically giving him an outline and saying, here, slap this together. And yet I want you to feel Memorial Day, but I don't want you to be wrapped up into is it technically produced perfectly, because I haven't given Jeff Weir Production a lot of runway, and for that I apologize. I'm trying. I want to do great, and then there's a lot of priorities that I've got juggling at the same time, and then I admit all of a sudden it's Friday, I want to take off for Memorial Day, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I really doing the proper reverence for something that's this important? I think I did a good job, but at the same time, It's going to be difficult for Jeff to put it together. So please give him a little bit of a runway since I didn't. I would appreciate that if you could. That's it for all of the announcements that you need to know as a member of the Unplugged Army. So let's roll.
Doug's Big One.
My number one opinion today is I think something's got to be taken. I'm going to talk sports and law. I think something's got to be taken out of arbitration and put into a court of law, which would dramatically change the Terry McDonough arbitration case against Michael Bidwill and the Arizona Cardinals. This is kind of information that's exclusive to you as a member of the Unplugged Army and those of you that are watching on WTSMTV.com, or if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. When I say exclusive information, I just mean it because everybody else in the media seems to be afraid to talk about this, and I don't know why they are. To me, this is very newsworthy because I don't think the Terry McDonough arbitration case should just drop out of the sky on everybody else in the city who doesn't know about it. So for those of you that watch and listen to Doug Franz Unplugged regularly, you're going to know how this case has been mounting little by little going forward. Here's where we are now. This is news that I broke a little bit earlier in the week, that when you look at this situation with Terry McDonough, now, quick background if you're new to the story, former assistant GM of the Arizona Cardinals, and now he has an arbitration case that he's filed. When you sign a contract in the NFL, you accept the fact that if you have any grievances against your employer, that will never go out into a court of law. You've got to have everything handled in arbitration. Almost all of us have signed a contract at one point in our lives where it says you're going to be forced into arbitration. The reason why a company does that is because courts of law, you have a jury of our peers, and most juries are anti-big business, and they say, that's wrong of you to do that. So they award big penalties. Well, companies realize we keep losing these cases. We don't want the world to know we're acting like a jerk, and we don't want to pay out a lot of money when we are acting like jerks. So they force cases into arbitration. The NFL has done the same thing. To me, highly opinionated statement, what's really rigged about the NFL is not only does it go into arbitration, it doesn't go to an independent arbitrator. It goes to Roger Goodell, and Roger Goodell has two choices. He hears the case himself, or he assigns it to an arbitrator that he gets to choose. So how independent is that? Hey, if you want another case and get paid by us to hear a case, better rule in our favor. Do they say that? No. But to me, that's kind of implied. Again, highly speculative, highly my opinion about the NFL. So anyway, Terry McDonough, because he has a contract or had a contract with an NFL team, can't sue in public court or in what's called civil court. He has to go and file for arbitration to the league. That's where they are now. And all parties have been put under a gag order. What's ridiculous is before the gag order, the Arizona Cardinals hired a man by the name of Jim McCarthy, which is from a company called Counterpoint Strategies. And here's what I find fascinating about the statement. Now, this statement was issued about 3 months ago. The statement itself is old news. But at the very top of the statement, it says, a tribute to Jim McCarthy, external public relations advisor to the Cardinals. Attributed to him, external. This is the Cardinals with a huge spotlight shining at the very beginning of the document to tell everybody, this isn't us saying this. This is an outside entity. This is an outside firm. Well, in this document, they say, in my opinion, ridiculous things about Terry McDonough. And when I say ridiculous things, I know Terry McDonough from a business relationship, and it's not a good one. And I don't mean that it's a good one as if he hates me or I hate him or I don't like him. I mean it's not a good one because the guy wouldn't tell me jack. All right. Now, if you tell me you're not going to talk to me about the draft or about inside information or things like that, okay, I respect you, but I'm not going to stop trying. Who knows when the time might be where you finally talk. Almost every source I have had inside a team has either said yes at the beginning or said no in the middle because they got mad at me because they thought if they talked to me that I'm going to sugarcoat my opinion. Like, I'll get a guy that says, hey, I really like this guy in the draft. And I have no problem saying, man, you should have, the Cardinals could have drafted this guy. And I know that there was a scout that wanted a blah, blah, blah. Well, then the next time they want a guy, if I don't think that guy's any good and I'm proven right, then I say, I know there was a scout. And they go, wait a minute, why did you out me? Well, I'm not here to suck up. You know, I do my job. So that's who I am. Well, Terry McDonough wouldn't tell me jack the whole time that he was there. So it just drove me crazy. It drove me absolutely crazy. So I can't vouch for or against really the man's character when he stiff-armed me and wouldn't keep me close to the situation. I can look at this statement and say, this is asinine. I mean, this is such a ridiculous statement that the Cardinals issued out. And as soon as this happened, I felt like it's kind of my duty as a member of the media to get to the bottom of it, because it's so unprofessional and so classless to have issued a statement like this. So I've been following the case very closely. And here's one of the things I'm looking at now is that statement that I already told you, a tribute to Jim McCarthy, external public relations advisor to the Cardinals. In this document, they say that basically, and this is my opinion of reading the document, how I see it, they say Terry McDonough is a bad dad, Terry McDonough is a domestic abuser, and Terry McDonough is a wild, crazy nut job in the workplace and creates animosity with everybody and defiance, and he needs to go. And all we did is do our due diligence, let him go, and now he's angry and wants money. That's basically, to me, what this statement says. When you accuse somebody of being a domestic violence or domestic abuser and a bad dad, you can't really defame anybody worse than that. Okay, now here's where my opinion sets in as a non-lawyer who's never even taken one legal class in my life. If I'm Terry McDonough's lawyer and I see that phrase, a tribute to Jim McCarthy, okay, show me your payroll, Arizona Cardinals. Is Jim McCarthy a full-time employee of the Arizona Cardinals? No, he's not. External public relations advisor. Even the Cardinals are saying he's external. Even the Cardinals are saying he's not with us. We hired him to do this. Okay. Then let me ask you this, anybody that thinks that they're a legal scholar. Why should this arbitration portion of the case be held in arbitration if Jim McCarthy's not in the NFL? Yes. Colonel Jessup, why the two orders? I mean, that's how I feel about this. If he's external and Terry McDonough is forced to go into NFL arbitration by his NFL contract for anything that happens NFL workplace-wise and a grievance against an NFL team, of course, since the Cardinals paid for it, and I can already report to you, and this was reported by me 3 weeks ago and then reported by ESPN 2 weeks ago and then claimed by ESPN to be reported by them, even though you and I had already talked about it, that ESPN says this is now a defamation addendum has been added to the arbitration case against the Cardinals. That makes sense. The Cardinals paid for the statement. That therefore, the Cardinals defame Terry McDonough in the mind of Terry McDonough, and therefore you add that addendum to the case. But what about the Jim McCarthy guy? He's not NFL. He's not an employee of an NFL team. Therefore, if I'm the lawyer, I am filing a separate defamation case in a court of law, in a civil court. And I'm sure the NFL is going to try to say, no, you can't do that. And they'll file a friend of the court or a brief of the court. Again, I'm starting to expose myself as a non-lawyer. But they're going to try to make sure the judge gets that removed. That they'll tell the judge, no, you can't hear this case. And a judge would say, why not? So this is, I'm not reporting to you anything today. I admit to you, I'm speculating today. But Doug's big one is there has got to be a moment soon where this outside public relations firm gets a lawsuit, a civil case filed against it. The reason why that matters to you, even if you hate it when law and sports collide, is there's no binding arbitration. There could be a gag order, but there's nothing that shuts up the plaintiff in this at the beginning of the case. And there could be discovery. There could be things where either side is allowed to talk about the other side. Plus, there most importantly, there will be a public record. We will actually be able to see the proof that is alleged that McDonough has against the Cardinals about burner phones and everything else, because it'll go to character. You defame my character, this I get to prove it. And the Cardinals will have to prove that Terry McDonough was a domestic abuser. I mean, if you say it, as they said it, that they have emails that show this or say this, they'll have to be able to produce the emails in such a way that justify going public with a domestic abuse type of accusation. And a judge is going to look at that and say, you know what, that's either strong enough to go public with that, or no, it's not. That's a violation of employee law. Again, totally speculating, and a guy that's not a lawyer. But I look at this case and I think you win by taking it out of a court out of arbitration and into a court of law. If I'm right on this, and again, this is a big if. This is a sports talk show who's talking law. But if I'm right on this, this is the single dumbest move in the history of Michael Bidwell's ownership. Yes. I mean, think about it. You could have had the whole thing in arbitration if you didn't make this statement. You wouldn't have had people like me upset that a big billion-dollar organization can come crashing down on one person. That scares me for all of us, Unplugged Army. That's kind of why I'm fighting this, too. Now, when I say fighting it, I'm just doing research and not going to let the situation die until there's a reason to let it die. I don't have an agenda other than protecting all of us from big business. I do think that's the role of media. That's my agenda. The truth is my agenda and trying to get to the bottom of it. But I think we should watch this very carefully to see if the defamation case portion of this, again, it's just an addendum to the arbitration against the Cardinals for now. I can't wait to see what's next and if there's going to be a civil case filed at some point, maybe in the next month, against Jim McCarthy, and we're going to learn an awful lot more. Now, next week is a very big week. I anticipate some movement happening next week, both on a national scale from other members of the media that have now caught on to what I am reporting and them trying to then jump on and take the story. So keep your eye out on that. Or some of them enhancing the story. And it's legitimate if you're a member of the media to enhance the story. So that's not stealing from me. That's getting an idea from me, but it's not really stealing from me. But I think we could see if there's more cases that start to get filed. If one person comes forward, I think that opens a door. Are there any others? I don't know. I know more stories, but other people have just said, I want to wait and see. Some people have reached out to me to see what my agenda is and say, hey, my agenda is the truth. If you want to talk about it, let's talk. That's where we are right now on the latest with the Terry McDonough arbitration case and what my speculation is that I think it's going to start being a snowball. I think it's going to start getting bigger and bigger. And right here, Doug Franz Unplugged is going to be your best source to be able to get the information for you to judge how you feel about it as a Cardinals fan. All right, coming up next. Let's do more football. Every Friday, I have an opportunity to sit down with the head coach of the Arizona Rattlers, and I did that already with Kevin Guy. My conversation with Coach Kevin happened last night, but it's not dated, as we say in the business. Why? Because they're taking a relaxed attitude in today's work. He'll explain why and get you fired up for Vegas Saturday night. Next, on the home of the Arizona Rattlers. This is WTSMTV.com. My name's Doug Franz. This is Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. Good morning and cheers.
Every Friday morning, Rattler fans, Doug Franz Unplugged is exactly where you should be watching on WTSMTV.com or listening on Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Because head coach Kevin Guy always joins us on Friday morning whenever he's got a game coming up Saturday or Sunday. And they do coming up tomorrow night. Pre-game starts at 5:30 here on WTSMTV.com. Game time at 6 versus the Las Vegas Nighthawks. And first of all, Kevin, before we get into the Nighthawks, just wow. I'm sure it's a week later. You're tired of talking about it, but I'm sure fans aren't. Your first half last weekend was so perfect. Did you even talk about this week's game as you got ready for last week's game when you got ready for Las Vegas? Sometimes you play so well, you almost want to throw away the tape and not let the guys know anything about it. How did you handle the success of the weekend going into this week?
Well, we just keep, you know, pointing out that there's a lot of parity in this league and it's week to week. And, you know, we try to get through the video, and I would say 99% of the time we're through the video and on to the next team within 24 hours. And, you know, if we play Saturday night, the guys are in Sunday morning. Hopefully God does not hold that against me for them missing church. But You know what? These days they can go to church at, you know, on a Saturday night, a Sunday night. There's many days during the week. So, you know, we get them in and then we, you know, they're out by lunchtime or so, on Sundays. And then we start, you know, as a coaching staff, we start preparing Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and all day Monday. And the, you know, the players are off on Monday. So we get everything prepared for Tuesday when they come in and we start getting ready for the next team.
With that, how was practice this week? I think everybody knows we record this every Thursday night, even though we're talking to you Friday morning on air. So I know you still have practice Friday. So when you're talking to the Unplugged Army, you're actually in the middle of practice. So you still got one more practice left. But so far in the week, how's prep gone for Las Vegas?
Well, actually, I don't. We don't practice the day before the game. So
okay,
we watch video, we meet, we go through film. I haven't done a walkthrough in 14 years, and it's worked well. It's worked well for us. But usually the day before the game, when you're on the road, you're traveling, and there's not a lot of time, and that's kind of a day off for the players other than travel. You know, we have a curfew the night before the game, home and away. You know, we do come in the day before the game. We meet, go through Thursday's practice, make any corrections, and then go through situations, all that stuff, and get ready for Saturday. But this week we handled different. It was the first time we've done it this year. Sunday they came in, watched film, got a lift, went to treatment. We gave them Monday off. Tuesday they came in, we got a film. We started watching Vegas, film, lift, treatment again, but we didn't hit the field. Wow. We only practiced 2 days. We practiced Wednesday and Thursday because we just played them. We just played them the week before we played Naz. So there's a lot of prep work that's already been done. We're already familiar with the team. Now, that didn't stop us from putting in a lot of new plays, which we did for this game. But it was more of a mental week. It wasn't a very physical week. We came out of the game healthy. We wanted to stay healthy. So we'll see how that goes. I told the players, I said, guys, we play Naz again next week.
I thought there'd be a carrot coming, huh?
Yeah, so I told him, I said, hey, if you want to continue, my job as the coach is to manage the week to make sure you're healthy and ready for the game. If you want to continue to have weeks like this, then keep winning, and everybody wins.
Do you have to manage success? It's so great that you're finally healthy. You played so great against Naz. For the most part, there's got to be an unbelievable confidence in that room that finally, here we go, we're back to being the Rattlers. But at the same point, some teams can feel like, hey, we just roll the balls out, throw a jersey on, and we're going to win because we're finally healthy. Hey, everybody, we're healthy. You need to lay down and let us win. Have you had to manage success this week at all?
Anytime we win or lose, I remind the guys, hey, you need to watch this film as if you lost the game, okay? Because it's real easy for people to start patting themselves on the back, right? And, you know, even when you win, you know, the other teams are getting your film. They're trying to find holes in what you're doing. They're trying to exploit those. So, you know, I tell them, hey, guys, we got to stay out in front of these other teams. They get paid to coach and play just like we do. So they're trying to find our weaknesses. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're identifying those after a win and fixing those issues. I tell you what, you know, some of the players come back to me all the time and ask me, like, hey, coach, how'd you know they were going to come at us this way or that way? And, you know, it's just years of reps. You know, you know, it's called self-scouting. You got to watch yourself and say, okay, we're pretty good in this area, but we need to fix this area and address it. So, you know, there is a lot of confidence in the locker room right now. Those three pieces that we added on defense, and really there was a fourth move, but moving, you know, bringing in Dobbs out on the backside corner. We've been struggling at backside corner all year, and that's in our defense. That guy plays man to man almost every snap. Okay, and then you know the linebacker Cecil Cherry and Harold Love at nose guard, just that pressure up the middle. But we took a backside corner that we've had there for a couple of weeks. We picked up Javon Jackson from Las Vegas after Las Vegas released him, and you know, he's been playing backside for a couple of games, but I moved him to the field corner, and he really, really played well at field corner. So, you know, Javon seems to be doing really well. He did well this last week, so we'll take a look at it this week. But, yes, managing success, it's human nature, right?
I mean,
the player are going to feel good about themselves. Sometimes even your coaches start feeling good themselves. Then there's me. There's Scrooge. I come in, I make everybody, you know. The players will tell you, I will make a win feel like a loss sometimes, just because I come in and just harp on the things that we got to get better at. And especially if I didn't think we played well, because, you know, our goal is not just to win. Our goal is to dominate. And that's what we're trying to build, a culture of where we're dominating our opponent. I tell them all the time, dominant teams don't care what the score is. Okay. You're going to play, you're going to compete for 60 minutes. Okay. You compete for 60 minutes. You keep the foot on the gas pedal, because I want them walking out of the building saying, hey, I don't want to see that team again. I don't want to play that team again. And we want to leave a physical and mental presence on them that, hey, they're sitting there the next time they're going to play us, they're sitting there dreading. And I've actually stopped by in the past the visiting coach's locker room just to say hello 3 hours before the game. And I tell you, I've walked in and seen some worried and miserable faces before the game. So I know what that looks like when you build that kind of roster and those players are playing at that kind of level.
You mentioned Harold Love. I've got to tell you this. Every home game, WTSM TV does the pregame show at 5:30. And I head out before you and I do the Coach Kevin Guy show. I interview players for the pregame show. And what I do, we have a segment called Rattler Bites, in which I ask obscure questions and then splice them together with different answers from different people. And this week I went with crazy questions that have been asked on job interviews that I just found online. And one of the questions was, what advice would you like to give to your most recent former boss? So, I mean, think about the dynamics of that. Who knows how you left your last job before you have your current one? But if you had the chance to give advice to the guy that either fired you or the guy that you left, or what would you say? Harold Love said, brush your teeth.
That's the good one. I mean, it was now I got to go look up where he played at and find out who that is.
Oh my gosh, he is a fantastic guy. So question number one, I'm sticking it to you because Rattler fans don't know that this is coming up on tomorrow night's broadcast, but I ask you, because it's been a long time since you had a former, your last former boss is a long time ago. So what advice would you give your last former boss? And then just tell us about Harold Love and what he's added as a person.
So I guess my former boss, I mean, I've had multiple owners until Ron Schertz bought this team.
That's true. So even though you've been here, you've had multiple bosses, haven't you?
Yeah, I would say be more like Ron. That's what I would say. Be more like Ron Schertz, okay? That's what
I don't know
say,
if that's right? A brilliant answer or the biggest suck-up answer to your current boss right now.
It's not a suck-up because Ron and I work well together, and he's certainly – willing to speak his mind, but I'm willing to politely speak my mind back to him. I have a lot of respect for the guy, but at the same time, you're not going to be a great franchise like we are if you're not willing to tell each other the truth. Okay. I absolutely love Ron Schertz. He's not my former employee, he's my current one.
Yeah.
But I would tell my former ones, be more like Ron, because the way he manages, manages me, I think he's done the best job of any owner that I've ever worked for, and that understands me, gets me, and understands how to manage me. And, you know, he knows when he needs to push my buttons a little bit. But
you know, I want you to follow up on this. Follow up on that. I still want the Harold Love answer in a second, but follow up on this, because I'm the only one in the media that is following the Terry McDonough arbitration case, because a lot of people in the media are scared of Michael Bidwell. We have a situation where Robert Sarver was a bad owner, and hopefully everything's better with Matt Ishbia. And we've had not great owners, and Jerry Colangelo is a saint for a lot of people in this town. But I ask you this question because you're a guy that's not only an owner of a football team, but you work for an owner. What makes a good owner?
Well, I can only tell you what's worked for me in my relationship with Ron, but Schertzy puts a lot of trust in me, and but at the same time, he's not one of these guys that's going to go around and he might come by and say hello to everyone, obviously, and hey, you're doing a great job, thank you, blah blah blah. But when he really wants to talk business, it's going to come to me. It's going to come through me. And, you know, there's not a lot of back channel conversations. You don't have to look over your shoulder. Everybody trusts each other. And I trust him. You know, it's a two-way street. And he made me take, I forget what this thing's called. It's like a personality index. You know, when he bought the team, and I took it, and not only did you know, he it was kind of funny. He comes over and he's like, "Man, you're a rock star. You scored really high on this index, right?" And he said, and then he goes, "But you know, when I took it, I scored over here." And he kind of moved it over. You know, I was like, "Yeah, all right." But it said on there, the way to manage Kevin Guy is to give him full autonomy, and he's done exactly that. For the most part, you know, I know I got an owner, I got a boss I got to answer to, but he's put a lot of trust in me. And, you know, I appreciate that. And it makes me want to work harder for the guy, okay, and get results, you know. And so I'm very appreciative of it. I don't know about these other, I just know that when I see ownership, coaches, when they start clashing, it usually comes down to communication and trust. And power and control, which usually leads to there's some ego issues, right? So when you put all that in there, and Ron and I, when we first started working together, I told him, I said, "Hey, I said, if Jimmy and Jerry would have ever just sat down and talked,
amen,
okay, they might have won four or five championships the way that roster was built."
And as a Cowboy hater, I'm glad they didn't.
And so there is an open line of communication between now. He's a busy guy. And he's out there making a lot of business deals. But I'm very grateful to have him. And I'll say that to suck up. I look around the league. I look around all these leagues and see issues all the time. But I'm very grateful to work for Ron. And certainly we've developed a friendship. And I've always said in business, if a friendship develops, it's a bonus. We got a great relationship. But, sometimes it feels more like family, you know. There's just a lot of trust there, and you know. But I've always said, when Ron goes, I will go. Okay, and that will be my last day with the Arizona Rattlers, unless for some reason I own the team. So then I work. Then I might just be an owner, you know. But you know, but the truth is, I just don't see my, after working for Ron, he's kind of spoiled me. I just don't see myself working for anyone else.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, now give us. I don't know if you've already got a Harold Love story since you just brought him in, but man, when we were talking to him, what a gregarious personality. And he seems like the type of guy, I don't know how hard this is in football, but I don't know what you call it. I call it the switch. The helmet goes on. I'm here to work. I'm here to maul you. I hope your mother's embarrassed. Helmet comes off. Be a good dude. You know, it's okay. Be a loving, fun, loving, good dude. This guy seems to be the pinnacle of that. It was great, but I admit, I have a 15-minute friendship with him, so I don't want to act like, you know, I know everything about him. What's he brought to the table for you?
Well, number one, it's a one-game evaluation. Now, we signed him based off his film, so what you saw this past week is what we saw on film.
Mm-hmm.
So he lived up to the resume, but it's a one-game evaluation. Let's see how it goes. But, you know, just in the locker room, during practice, his personality is contagious. Number one, he backs up what he says he's going to do, but he's funny. And, you know, again, it's a one-game evaluation. I stop a little short to say this, but we have not had a nose guard here like this since Antage Hawthorne, and Antage Hawthorne is in our Ring of Honor. So he's got that kind of potential and that personality. Now, me and Antage would butt heads every once in a while, but we would also laugh a lot.
This is kind of an unfair question because clearly it exposes that maybe there were some teams you didn't like the way you put them together. But just listening to you talk, I can tell you like this team. I don't just mean the way they're playing or beating Naz or things like that. I just mean the makeup, the character, old versus young, veteran, skill versus grunts, you know, just the mesh, the puzzle pieces, you like, and the personalities. You like this team a lot, don't you?
I do. And I will tell you, the youth, the rookies that we brought in, not only do I like their athleticism, but I like their character. And I just think that wins in the end. Okay. those, every time I've had players that I view as a rep, okay, bad character people, right? And I've tried to, you know, I, this guy's a heck of an athlete. I know he's got, he's a bad character guy, but eventually that, that player always cost us a win. Okay. Mm. Somewhere down, they make a bad decision. They do something. The attention detail's not there, whatever. Okay. The focus is not there. You know, it's, it, they always make the mistake and cost you at some point. From day one, I felt like we've had the talent. We just were injured. And, you know, like I said before, we could have hit the panic button and started trying to bring in vets to right the ship. But I just said, you know what? While these veterans that we do have are hurt, the core guys that we kind of built the team around, we're just going to coach these young guys and let's try to get to be the best team we can be. So when those veterans come back, and then well, look what happened. This was really the first game that everybody was on the field and healthy, and boom, we exploded. And so, hey, you know me, I love being right. So let's just see if we can continue.
All right, last question is always the same thing. What do you have to do to beat Vegas? But I kind of know the answer, so I'm going to ask you, are you prepared for it? At the game at Vegas, I hope you don't mind me saying it, you guys got torched by the quarterback run game. So are you prepared for it this week, or do you expect Vegas doing something different? How do you use the loss at Vegas schematically for this game coming up tomorrow night?
Well, I would say, like I told the players, if we lose the same way two games in a row, that would be the definition of insane. So we're not gonna lose the same way. We might get beat a different way, but we're not gonna lose the same way. I can say that. So, you know, obviously making sure that he doesn't run around is number one. You know, you go back and look, our secondary didn't really play all that bad. We did give up a 3rd and 27 in that game. There was like 3 pass plays that I was really upset with the secondary about. And you know, we certainly gotta do a better job there.
You're great. Thanks for your time. Best of luck, and I'll see you after the game.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Thank you.
There are so many different reasons to call Parker & Sons heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. I had a problem with an outdoor appliance recently called Parker & Sons. Figured it could be electrical. They checked my fuse box and let me know that some of the fuses had been installed improperly. It could have caused a fire. You can't just trust anyone with the safety of your family. Thank goodness I had a trust-certified technician from Parker & Sons to find it. Call 602-2-REPAIR. That's 602, the number 2, then REPAIR for Parker & Sons. Rosati Sports Pub in Chandler. It's on Ray and McQueen. Sounds like a sports bar. What's the difference? You walk in and they actually have games on TV with the sound on. How many times do you walk into a supposed sports bar and they've got loud music on or somebody playing live or some kind of trivia game going on and you're there to watch the game? If you're like me, a simple guy, give me my pizza, give me my wings, give me my cold beer, and make sure I can hear the Suns and D-backs, then you want Rosati Sports Pub in Chandler. All members of the Unplugged Army, welcome. Rosati Sports Pub, give me the game.
In just a couple minutes, Jeff Weir Production is going to say in my ear he's ready, and we're going to go to Doug Holler, who is a longtime writer for the Arizona Republic, and about maybe 6 years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, he went to The Athletic and is able to really expand on a lot of different stories, hardcore beat of Arizona State, but then anything else that goes on in Phoenix that The Athletic wants covered or that Doug Holler wants to cover, Doug jumps right on it, and he's scheduled to join us at 7:10, but because he goes for extra credit all the time, he's already ready, so why should I stall with the big buildup as Doug Holler joins us right now? Is how does the family feel about this right now? What normally happens in the Holler household at 7:10 in the morning?
Well, today's the first day where we're not shuttling everyone to school, so okay. It's kind of quiet. My daughter graduated last night from Chandler High. So cool. We're just all kind of coming down from that wonderful night. So yeah, it's uncharacteristically quiet.
Well, then let's brag about her. What's next in her life? What's she gonna do next?
She's still trying to figure that out. She's gonna go to junior college and figure out what she wants to study, what she wants to go into, and earn some money and figure it out probably, I would say, in the next 6 months to a year. So we're not rushing her. We think that's probably a good choice for right now. So we're excited.
Well, if she wants some advice, don't go into the media. Okay, just she knows that now. Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, get to I love your reporting right now on the Suns. So get to that for us a little bit. And this is for those of you that are just tuning in. That's a member of the Unplugged Army. Here's a quote from Doug's recent article. He's going to be a head coach at some point. If the Suns don't do it, I think they're making a mistake. That is the head coach of the Delaware 87ers talking about Kevin Young, the potential head coach who has been a longtime assistant. And I admit I'm in favor of Kenny Atkinson, which is kind of off the board totally. But I'm hearing a lot of people saying, look out for Kevin Young. Look out for the fact that Booker really likes him. So I don't know how Matt Ishbia feels, but as you've done your research, what are you hearing about Kevin Young and what have you learned?
Well, if anyone is like really high on Nick Nurse, he has followed Kevin has followed the same career path as Nick Nurse. A little bit of international experience, a ton of developmental league experience.
Okay.
And he's just been kind of one of those guys, Doug, that's just kind of grinded his way from one stop to another. It's difficult to go back and look and spend a lot of time looking at G League statistics because guys are coming in, guys are coming out. So it's hard to kind of really conclude anything from that. But really the overall thing with Kevin is he's done just about everything. He was a head coach at 23 in Ireland, where he was also the GM. He's been an assistant coach in the developmental league during the early stages, where he's busing the opponents to and from the airport. He's been a head coach. He's worked in player development with the Sixers and the Suns. And probably the biggest thing for him right now is that Devin Booker really supports him. And Chris Paul has said very, very favorable things of him in the past. So I wouldn't dismiss him as a candidate. I think he has a good chance. Obviously, he doesn't have NBA head coaching experience, but he's pretty much checked every other box.
The Athletic covers everything, but do you guys have a super Irish League reporter assigned to anything? I mean, when I read that part of the article, I was thinking, how much do you learn? I would imagine it's exponential what you learn as a 23-year-old American head coach in Ireland.
Yeah, his play, his college career had just ended not too much earlier than that. And, as a player, he was kind of his college, his high school coaches I talked to described Kevin as scrawny, kind of skinny, but a guy who would not back down. So just a year, he spent some time at some small colleges, a prep school, and then he was off to Ireland. And it was one of those situations where, you know, they gave him a car, but, you know, he's actually living with his players. So really an immersive experience that kind of set him on his path. And, you know, and I mentioned, don't back down. I think that's another thing that's probably in his favor is that throughout his history, he just has had everybody I talked to, and I talked to 10 people about Kevin.
Wow.
At some point in the conversation, they talked about his competitive edge. And we've seen that surface with the Suns at times during, you know, dust ups. We saw it in the playoffs when Kevin Durant shoved Bruce Brown. You know, Kevin Young was right in the middle of that. And, you know, I think maybe at times people thought Monty Williams was a little too passive. Fighting for his players, trying to get fouls called. I don't think Kevin Young would be that guy.
That's what a lot of people are looking for. So I am totally sold on the fact that he would be a candidate under almost any other circumstance. But you know as well as I do, not that we know what it's like to be a billionaire, but when billionaires come in, they think they have it solved. Every other owner has done it wrong. They're going to come in, and they all want splashes. And there's nothing less splashy than promoting an assistant coach from within who, quote-unquote, was part of the coaching staff you just said wasn't doing a good enough job. That doesn't sound like a billionaire move. Why? I know you're not saying Ishbia will do it, but why do you think under that term, Kevin Young's still a candidate?
I agree with you 100%. And everything that we know about Matt Ishbia right now, coming in, making the trade for Kevin Durant, this does not seem like a hire that, you know, that path is on that same level, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's the big wild card in this is what is Matt Ishbia thinking? I think, you know, it's been reported that he's got a big heavy hand in this. I tend to believe that. It's just the way he's run his mortgage business. I don't pretend to know Matt Ishbia really well, but I have spent time with him. You know, I went out to Detroit right as he was getting his ownership approved in the NBA, spent some time with him. And the one thing that came across during my time with him is that he is hands-on, that he wants to know every aspect of the business. He wants to know everybody in the organization. And if he doesn't know something, he's going to surround himself by people who do. So that's the wild card. What kind of splash does he want to make? And I would think if he's going to go, if they're going to go with Kevin Young, it's going to have to be, and you have to assume, you have to, if you're a Suns fan, you have to hope that Devin Booker is a part of this discussion. Maybe he doesn't have the final say. Obviously, he doesn't. But he has to have a final say. And Kevin Durant has to have a final say. I don't know about Chris Paul because I don't know about what their plans are for him. But I would think if they listen to their players and if Devin Booker is saying, Kevin Young is my guy, then I would think that they would really, really, really give that a lot of consideration.
Boy, that is so strong. And it's interesting, you mentioned Ishbia and what we don't know. And everything you just described, I would say that automatically disqualifies you from being a good owner because in sports, it's get away. You know business, but you don't know the game. I don't know how much Jerry Richardson knew the modern NFL, but he's a former player who owned the Panthers before he got run out of town. To actually have an owner that scored about 18 points a game in high school, so was Mr. High School Darling, but then turned around and became a grunt as a walk-on, but then worked hard enough to get a scholarship as a player at Michigan State, that checks boxes no owner has ever checked. I don't even know how I feel, Doug, about him being hands-on, because he's more qualified than any other owner to be hands-on, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Mostly when you hear hands-on owner, it's not a good thing. I don't think any fan base wants an owner who's meddlesome, who's involved in the basketball operations. But if you watch, I mean, Matt Ishbia, his story is well-known, you know, national championship team. You know, his senior year, or his last year in college, you know, he was more of a player coach, mm-hmm. Tom Izzo had him sit closer to him on the bench because he wanted to hear his input. During the Final Four. I think it was during the Final Four game. Maybe it was the national championship game. He actually suggested a play. Michigan State suggested a play that ended up in a three-pointer. So he does have some basketball knowledge. He was going to go into coaching. He had an offer to go into coaching. And if you see him sit during Suns games, you know, in that front row there in that corner, he looks exactly like Tom Izzo, you know, hands crossed in front of him, elbows on his legs. I mean, so he does have some basketball, a basketball background. Whether or not that qualifies him for making, decisions of this magnitude, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But the big question to me is, you know, where does James Jones lie? How strong of a voice does he have in this decision-making process? Because I do know that he's also close with Kevin Young. I'm sure he has his own ideas in which direction they can go with this.
You mentioned Ishbia is sitting at games. I admit I want Kenny Atkinson. I will trust Booker if they go with Kevin Young. This is rude. I'm kind of tired of Doc Rivers. He should have done more in Philly, but he's a championship head coach, and you can't question his knowledge of the game. So there's a couple candidates out there, but the one thing that scares me more than anything else is the person that sits next to Matt Ishbia. I don't want Isaiah Thomas anywhere near that side of the court. It's none of my business who Ishbia sits next to. It's totally my business if he puts somebody sitting next to him on the other side of the court. What can you tell us about the future of Isaiah Thomas in this organization? And please, if you have to, Doug, just screw the entire reputation of The Athletic and lie to me. Tell me he's got no future with the organization. What do we know about Isaiah Thomas?
Officially, not much. Okay. I don't think there will ever be a time, Doug, I think you can relax. I don't think there will ever be a time where you see Isaiah Thomas's name on like the front office list, the front office directory. I don't think, just because, you know, his past, some of the allegations against him, I don't know if that would that would be a good thing. We saw that when he first was brought in, when Matt Ishbia first arrived in Phoenix, and it was already rumored that Isaiah was going to be a part of his staff, and that didn't go over too well. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Ishbia is smart. I think he knows how to read the room. However, you know, when you're in the playoffs, and you know I'm in LA for the Clippers series, and you see Matt Ishbia and you see Isaiah Thomas, you know, right by his side. Okay, Isaiah came in for a game, and then you go back. You know, you're in Phoenix, and you see Isaiah Thomas sitting next to Matt Ishbia. Okay, you know, he's in Phoenix, but then when you go to Denver, and Matt Ishbia is still by Matt Ishbia's side. You know, that kind of told me at the time that A, basketball operations were 100% under evaluation at that time. I would assume Isaiah Thomas could have watched those games from television. I assumed he was there to kind of get a feel for how Monty Williams and his staff were kind of operating. And also it told me that he has Matt Ishbia's confidence and he has Matt Ishbia's ear, and he probably has input into Matt Ishbia's decision-making. So I don't know if you'll ever see an official role for Isaiah Thomas, but I think to think that he has no input in what has happened over the last couple of weeks, I think that would be naive.
That was a brilliant answer by you. It somewhat alleviated my concerns, but there are there's still some fear there and still a little annoyance. So now going forward with the Suns, get yourself a coach. They probably could care less about summer ball because they don't have a pick until I think the 2042 season before they could really do anything draft-wise. So where are the Suns as an organization? Do you still think the championship window is open?
I think it's open because you have Devin Booker in his prime, and we got a glimpse in the playoffs of what that really is. And everyone, it's always strange. I mean, as you know, there are two narratives on Devin Booker. There's Devin Booker, who's a Pat statter, who has made his NBA reputation putting up a lot of points on bad teams. I think people who have watched Devin Booker in this market knew, like, no, that's not the case.
Exactly.
He's wired differently. You know, put him on a good team and he's going to become a superstar. That's what we've seen happen. I think that's the starting point. Kevin Durant, you know, they never really figured it out how to use him. I thought Kevin Durant looked comfortable during the 8 games they'd had him during the regular season. I thought for most of the playoffs, particularly against Denver, he looked frustrated. I don't think he got the ball where he wanted. I don't think he was taking shots that he was comfortable with. So they have to work that out. But I think with those two guys, yes, your championship window is still open. But they have a lot to figure out. I would think that Chris Paul probably would return. But what do you do with DeAndre Ayton?
Yes.
You know, in order to make some roster changes, as I'm sure you discussed, you're going to have to free up some money somehow. So what does that mean for DeAndre Ayton, who's making $30 million? What does that mean for his future? Mm-hmm. You know, do they use that money? Is there a better way to use that money? So, yes, I think their championship window is still open, but I think they need to really help the roster in certain areas.
If you don't mind me giving you an assignment, as if I have any power with The Athletic, I would like to know the relationship between Fred VanVleet and Nick Nurse, because I would really like Fred VanVleet, the free agent, to become the Suns' starting point guard. I love Chris Paul, but there comes a point where, Chris, I can't trust that you're going to be healthy in the playoffs anymore. So I think you've got to make a move there. I like Fred VanVleet, but he might be thinking, I want to get away from Nick Nurse, so then I don't want Nick Nurse. But I think Nick Nurse can coach, and if it is a package deal, and Fred, I get a point guard that likes the head coach, that knows the offense that's coming, then I want Nick Nurse to bring Fred VanVleet with him. Do you have any inkling of the Suns' moves in this offseason?
Not at this point, no. And, I mean, I wouldn't know if they have any strong inklings about which direction they're going to go, because there's just, I mean, that conversation has to start with the head coach. If you bring in somebody who really believes, like, you know what, we can get a lot more out of DeAndre Ayton, that changes the entire conversation. And I also think, Doug, that had maybe something to do with the Monty Williams decision. I mean, you have, first of all, it goes back to Jay Crowder when maybe report, and there's still a lot of mystery around that. But there seemed to be a disconnect between Monty Williams and Jay Crowder. Okay, fine. But that robbed you of one of your main, a starter, your main role guys, one of your main glue guys that affected the entire season. It shortened your bench. So, okay, you excuse that. You know, personality conflicts, those things happen. But then when you have a $30 million center out there that you can't reach, that's regressed, that everyone in the building could see, like, there is more to this guy. Maybe during an interview, someone says, like, hey, look, you know, we need to tap into that a little bit more. There is more that we can gain from DeAndre Ayton. Here's how I'd use him. So I think everything will start with the head coach in that regard.
That's a great point to see how that happens directly. But it's kind of funny you say that, because the last time we had a coach come in and do that, it was Cliff Kingsbury explaining all the things he's going to do with Josh Rosen. And that's why he's coming in. And the Cardinals explained to us, oh, he was the best at showing how he's going to use Rosen. And even at the time, I thought, really? That doesn't sound right, but fine, I'll trust you. And then we realized nobody could be trusted on that one at all. Speaking of football, give me so I want you to answer this. This is totally rude. You bring in somebody from The Athletic, and then you ask him a question about sporting news. But I saw a sporting news ranking of coaches, 1 to 133. Now, if there's ever something to do that you're just trying to get a talk show host to argue about, it's when you put together a list. I am the biggest Kenny Dillingham fan. I think it was a fantastic hire. I think he's going to be successful eventually. I don't think ASU fans understand how ugly it's going to be early, but I think he will be successful. However, this ranking had him 20 spots higher than Jed Fish. And that was the only thing. I don't care where you rank anybody. But as soon as I saw that, when you get the crap burger that Kevin Sumlin handed to Jed Fish, and you see the steady incline at U of A, how is Kenny 20 spots higher? I thought that was sick in the head. How do you look at the future of Dillingham and the comparison with him and Jed Fish?
Well, I think he's off to a great start. I've said before, Kenny Dillingham right now is not coaching only his football team. He's coaching ASU fans. He's coaching the Valley. He understands that for that program to reach a championship level, and I agree with you, right now I think they're miles from that. They need to get the support. They need to get the enthusiasm. And as you know, that bottomed out during the last, you know, ugly year of the Herm Edwards era. So he's trying to get support. You know, he said he wanted 40,000 people at the spring game. I think someone should have whispered in his ear, like, hey, you might want to lower that a little bit. And they got what, less than 10. So that shows how far they need to go. But I've been impressed with everything he's done so far. I think it's great that they got somebody that automatically kind of signifies to the fan base, hey, look, this is going to be not a 1 year turnaround, but we need to be patient. We need to grow with this guy and let him grow the program. So, I think it was a good hire. I think it was a smart hire. I think it was what ASU needed. In terms of Jed Fish, you know, I think Jed Fish pretty much walked into a similar situation, and he's got them on path. It's been a 3-year plan, and I think this year they should probably, if they need to get to a bowl game this year, but, you know, I think it's good. It seems like ASU and U of A always kind of mirror each other as they go. So right now U of A is a couple years ahead of ASU, so we'll see how that goes.
We're talking to Doug Holler, who covers everything in Phoenix, but his focus has always been Arizona State, a deep Arizona State insider in all of college sports. I'm sure you get sick of this. Anytime you say yes to anybody who wants to interview you, at some point they're going to ask you a question that you get asked millions of times, but do we know anything else about the NCAA investigation? Has there been even one inkling that a decision is coming anytime soon?
Yeah, I think the investigation, which has gone on since what, June of 21, I believe.
Yeah.
The spring of June 21.
We just know that the dossier has mold on it by now. It's taken so long to get us here.
It's amazing that it takes that long. I at one point, Doug, I've been told throughout that at one point I was told at the end of last season. At one point I was told in March. So the timeline that people keep giving to me never never materializes. So I would assume any time, probably before the season, they would get some sort of response. But, you know, like I said, I've been told that a couple times already, and it hasn't happened. But, you know, I think the good thing with the fan base, with the new coach, with the new enthusiasm around Kenny Dillingham, I think everyone's, you know, fan base has kind of moved past that. And I don't think I think the worst is behind the program as far as that goes. Just the uncertainty, how it affected recruiting, the coaching change. There were some ugly moments. I think that the worst is in the past. And now it's just like, okay, here's what we're looking at. Let's get through it.
Since the worst is in the past, there has not been, it's almost, this is my feeling, ASU fans want Ray Anderson fired, and they're almost tired of talking about it. So it's almost like Dr. Crow has waited out the fan base, and everyone's like, whatever, and they didn't get their way. Is he officially now safe from, or is it going to be one of those quiet retirements in the middle of a summer, July 3rd before the 4th of July holiday, suddenly ASU's looking for an athletic director, or is Anderson going to be here for still a little while?
You know, when throughout all of this, the reporting that I did and the people that I talked to who were really smart and knew kind of how Arizona State operated from Michael Crow on down, no one ever expressed to me that they thought Ray Anderson would lose his job over this, which really on the outside looking in is kind of shocking just because, you know, he was tied to Herm Edwards and it just failed so spectacularly. But Michael Crow has always been loyal to his people. You know, when he extended Ray Anderson's last contract, he joked during the meeting with the Board of Regents that the extension was a lifetime deal. So I'm not surprised that they've stuck with him. I think Ray Anderson is safe. I think it's going to be on his timetable about whether or not he wants to retire. And I think his last years, no matter how long, much longer he has to go, he has some work to do. Obviously he has to, mm-hmm. you know, all the main programs are, you know, not where operating where they should be. And it, you know, it's time to turn that around, but there's no, I do agree with you. I think the fan base is just kind of over it. And you know, there's kind of like, whatever, we're stuck with him. Let's make the best of it.
I do think that too. You can follow him at Doug Holler. The last question is simply take a minute and plug yourself. What are you working on next other than, you know, following the Suns, what's coming up in the Athletic, and your magazine is worth the subscription price. So I want to let you plug it. What's going on in the sports world of Doug Holler?
Yeah. This is my fifth year at the Athletic. I've loved it. I started as an Arizona State reporter, and now as you mentioned, my role has expanded to doing statewide stuff and national stuff. I obviously will be continuing reporting on what the Suns do. That's kind of the front and center subject right now. But there's also some ASU recruiting, a national project that we all did that has some pretty cool stories within it, just as far as the best, the most influential recruits in ASU history, the biggest one that got away, you know, items like that, that should be coming out, I would think. Actually, I don't know a date, but shortly. And then just, you know, kind of going through the candidates for the rest of the Suns, like to do another story similar to Into the Background of Kevin or Kevin Young, and mm-hmm. hopefully some more in-depth stuff on Jonathan Gannon, who is, you know, off with, you know, the Cardinals. And, of course, they have a lot of questions going up for them as well.
That's a weird situation. I love Jonathan Gannon from a press conference standpoint, but I still have no idea if I could trust him. That's so weird. But I love his energy and the guy. Well, then here's what you could do for me. I have everybody I know with the Suns, like no media member should ever admit this. Everybody I know with the Suns is either fired or going to be fired. And so I'm losing people left and right, but I'm deeply embedded into, I have a ton of sources into the Terry McDonough versus Michael Bidwell situation. So I'll help you with that. You do me a favor and come on anytime you can to talk Suns, because I need your help with that. And I love having you. And I know everybody that listens to the show loves it when you come on. So thanks for your time.
Doug, I appreciate you having me. Sorry for the audio issues to start out.
Oh, listen, I screw stuff up all the time, so I'm sure it was on my end. Thank you, Doug. You're great. Talk to you later. That is Doug Holler, live from his house. At Doug Holler is the Twitter handle. Great Arizona State reporter. I think he's the best Arizona State reporter. And now as his role expands, we have a local guy that's covering national things. So it was great to catch up with Doug. Coming up next, we've got Versus Vegas in a little bit. Yes, I made money yesterday, Steve McCollum. And it's just time to rip Steve every Friday at 7:40 on Doug Franz Unplugged. It's a beautiful part of the podcast we call Rip Steve. And it's next on Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass.
It's big. It's juicy. It's meaty. Get your burrito at Burrito Express. If you're having a hangover, a bad day, even a good day, still get your burrito at Burrito Express. It will make you feel better.
Burrito Express started with my father about 25 years ago. He got laid off and decided that he needed to do something to provide for his family. My brother and I were older teens, 17, 18 year old. And I'm going to do a trial out of my house. So literally we decided we're going to start out of his house. So we delivered menus in a square mile area, literally started delivering burritos out of our home in Mesa, Arizona. And after about a month, he said, let's do this. Went and found his first location. And believe it or not, that's how it started. We started with one location back in 1995. Now we're where we are now.
Oh yeah. This is Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. I want to personally congratulate this is kind of stinks. We got to give something to a Steelers fan. Congratulations, Ryan. Ryan has won two tickets to this weekend's Rattlers game against Vegas, as Ryan correctly got online and was able to name yesterday's secret password. So Ryan's our winner for Thursday, but we still have a pair of tickets to give away today for tomorrow night's game. So therefore, if you're in on it, all you have to do is be a Plus member and go to our website, WTSMTV.com/secret password, and write this. Oh, there it is. You know what? I haven't done this yet for the Unplugged Army that's only listening to the podcast. I'm going to give you the secret today. I'm going to give you the secret. If you know the name of the Rattlers cheerleaders, then you know the secret password.
These are your two tickets, so.
Oh, no, I already gave away mine. Yeah, I gave them away on Wednesday. So these are still station tickets.
I had it backwards. We were doing yours last.
But it's okay. It's okay, because here's why. I just gave you a hint to those of you that are listening, but you can only win if you're a Plus member. So become a Plus member at WTSMTV.com. That gives you access to the Rattlers pregame show. I think you'll lose it when you see Rattler Bites coming up tomorrow night. It's highly entertaining to watch our pregame show. That's for the Rattlers. Now, if you want to watch the Tucson Sugar Skulls pregame show, then you need more Steve McCollum in your life, as Steve is now joining us before the main event gets underway in 20 minutes. Steve, good morning. How was your Thursday evening?
It was great, actually. I watched the Knights in Dallas, which was fantastic. The overtime victory there by Dallas was fun to watch. And then I cooked a meal. I actually cooked. I had help. But I'm going to take credit for it. It was fantastic, man. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Do you have any great Memorial Day weekend plans?
No, not at all. Obviously, Sugar Skull Saturday night, working that. Sunday and Monday, no plans yet. I got to figure it out. Maybe Diamondbacks with the kids. We got to figure it out. But are you working Monday?
Kind of. I will stay up late Sunday night and do a 4-minute offense and send it into Jeff Weir production. I won't be in studio, but then I have two packages put together that are specifically for Memorial Day that are just something to put into my show that's not sports related. And then, just to be transparent, I have no idea how much time that remains in the show, so I will fill it Sunday night with sports.
All right. Well, that was a long answer for you're putting in the same effort, is what you're saying.
I'm putting in the same effort, but I won't be in studio Monday. That's the specific answer.
I think Izzy and I decided finally, because we were like, can we do a best of? We've been here a few weeks, put something together, and then we decided that was too much work. So I think yesterday we decided we're just going to come in and do the show.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I think that's what we finally decided to do.
Well, number one, I can say Izzy could put together a best of, but you couldn't. There hasn't been a best of you yet. I would do that with Izzy. However,
maybe I'll just do 2 hours of Doug sucking at versus Vegas.
No, actually, I made money yesterday.
So one day we don't have to worry about cutting in. All right.
No. And I will also say this. I will donate my time to you on Monday. If you guys are coming in live and for some reason you want to go longer, just start early. Now, you might say, no, you don't want to start early. But if you do, just start early.
The problem, you tell us. If we need to start early to fill your time, Mr. Big Shot, you just let me know if you need me to rescue you.
You know, there's a lot of, listen, this is radio theory. This is, I don't know television theory at all, but there's radio theory that says don't ever do that because you've got your show.
Yeah.
Focus on your show. Other people like to say, oh no, it's great because now people that are there for Unplugged get exposed to a new show.
Yeah.
They like the main event. They stick around or they start listening or watching you in the future. Other people say never, ever, ever do that.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I look at it as, well, what do you guys want?
You know what it is. It has nothing to do with any of those theories you said. It has to do with most radio hosts are giant babies and don't want somebody else showing them up, type of a thing, right? I learned that the hard way over at the radio station. You certainly know it, being where you were at and everything. Like, you look, the egos of these childish babies afraid somebody's going to take their job is the most amazing thing from adults I've ever seen in my life.
I will say that about my old station.
Do you want to call anybody out? Go ahead, Doug.
I will say about my old station, that is totally untrue about Dave Burns and Vince Marotta.
Now, there you go.
Totally untrue.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know what? It's the names you leave out, right? For me, it was Dale Hellestray. Other than that, that's it. Dale Hellestray was the only one that I was great. Yeah.
How was your time with Dale? Because I was busy running around working in house and didn't get a chance to listen. Oh, to you and Dale.
It's always awesome with Dale. I'm actually cutting that up, and we're going to put out basically that whole segment just to kind of promote it. Dale's a fantastic human being, fantastic guy. I got a ton of feedback about, like, people were like, well, I didn't know he had that kind of personality, you know, and stuff like that. So I bring out the best in people. What do you think?
Well, we do love Izzy, so maybe maybe you do.
Izzy brings out the best in me.
With tell me how, if you buy into my opinionated theory today.
Probably not.
Since you are, for those of you who don't know, Steve McCollum, host of the Main Event from 8 to 10 every weekday morning, is also a very savvy businessman.
Well.
And in the NFL contracts that every player, every coach, every GM, every employee has to sign,
mm-hmm.
is that if there's any problems with you and your employer, it doesn't go to a court.
Yeah.
You can only go into arbitration, which is actually either heard by Roger Goodell or somebody Roger Goodell assigns.
Yes.
Well, with the ridiculous statement that the Cardinals released a couple months ago, that to me is clear defamation. And so they've already filed an addendum to the case. So now in arbitration, Terry McDonough has an addendum of defamation.
Yes.
But the statement was actually written by an outside firm. And even on the statement, here's what's crazy. They highlight the statement of, quote, a tribute to Jim McCarthy, external public. Well, when you're saying this guy's not in our organization and you even highlight the word external, if I am Terry McDonough's lawyer, I am also filing a civil case outside of NFL arbitration. You would say absolutely. Okay, that was my question.
Well, here's the thing, right? You can there's such thing as discovery, right? And you can go and you can say, okay, this guy acted on his own. Okay, Cardinals, let's see your emails, right? Let's see your discovery if you reached out to this guy to put out a statement or not. Does this guy work for you? Is he on your payroll? Because just because he's an outside source, if he's getting paid by the Cardinals, You can attribute that into the Cardinals organization, but 100%, this guy's in trouble regardless. Now, can you put the Cardinals into it is the bigger question. It's 100% defamation. It was the worst thing the Cardinals could do.
Oh,
and this guy didn't just wake up that morning and go, oh, I'm going to attack McDonough for the Cardinals. Give me a break. But you have to find that line of the Cardinals. Cardinals have screwed this up. I said it the day they came out with it. It was an you don't sit there and go, you know, oh, somebody's calling me a bully. So I'm going to bully him and prove I don't bully him.
Exactly. That's what makes this so dumb.
That's why Michael Bidwell, I'm sure you're a super nice guy. I'm just being nice now so I don't get sued. But that's why you're a stupid freaking moron. That's why your dad was a better business person than you ever were, was because your dad would have just sat there and done the right channels. But not Michael Bidwell. He's got planes, folks. So he's got to be bigger than everybody and show everybody he's not a bully by bullying him. Get the F out of here. Excuse my language.
Welcome, everybody. Good morning.
Yeah, enjoy your breakfast.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I think maybe next week you'll hear about him using that helicopter in a rude way. It's time for... Now, we can stick it to Steve McCollum, because yesterday, I think I made $1.87. Yes, I did. I went 1-1 on the day, so it doesn't help the overall rating. But I had more, I had less juice on the game that I won than the game that I lost. So, hey, here you go, baby. Here you go. I said, Tampa Bay is crushing Toronto. I said they'd cover the money line against the Blue Jays. Not only was I right, but the Toronto Blue Jays were so mad that I picked against them and was proven correct that they had a players-only meeting after the game. Yes, they did. Look it up. Blue Jays had a players-only meeting. And I have not heard the rumor that one of the players stood up in the meeting and said, this is ridiculous. We even have Doug Franz picking against us right now. Okay? I was not in the room, and I did not hear that rumor that that was said. Then I said the Miami Heat would not win. I got that right, but I didn't bet on that. But I said they would definitely cover because they were given an 8.5-point spread. They lost by 13. So 13 usually doesn't fit into an 8.5-point window. But I went 1-1 with better juice on the Tampa Bay game, about $1.87. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You're not going to believe this one this week. For versus Vegas. And no, I don't have a problem before you say it, because it's $5. I have two IFL games. Yeah. Yes, I do. I looked up the lines for an IFL game. But I like it. And it's all Arizona-based. Coming up tomorrow night, Bay Area, it might be actually be tonight now that I think of it. Bay Area is on the road at Tucson. Bay Area is a 3.5-point favorite. I like them by 10 points. I think Bay Area beats the Tucson Sugar Skulls, so I'm going to take Bay Area minus the 3.5. And Rattlers are favored by a hair less than a touchdown. Listen, the quarterback for Vegas torched them on the ground. They have changed nose guards, the Rattlers have, and they've changed linebackers basically to do nothing but shut down the quarterback run game. If the quarterback runs all over the place, man, I'm a dead duck. But I think once they stop that, they're a better team and better equipped to beat Vegas, and it's not Drew Powell's first game coming off of injury like it was 2 weeks ago. I love Rattlers by more than a touchdown. It's Rattlers minus 6.5. I'm taking the Rattlers covering the spread there. So IFL-wise, I got Bay Area and the Rattlers covering. Now, two other games baseball-wise. I like the Rangers on the money line against Baltimore, and it's Baltimore that's favored, so I'm getting positive juice on that. But Baltimore just came over a nice win on the road at Yankee Stadium. Now they come home feeling a little bit, you know, full of themselves. And Texas, I admit, I didn't write it down. Texas might have had an off day yesterday, so they're resting in Baltimore while Baltimore's traveling. So I like the Rangers on the money line. And then Oakland flew down from Seattle last night. Not a hard trip at all, but it's Oakland. They're terrible. Houston's good. And I don't have to deal with the negative of minus 2.5 run line. Now, granted, the juice is still bad. Think about this. You've got to cover minus 1.5 on the run line with Houston. And the juice is only minus 155. That's not good when you're choosing a team to cover and you've got that much juice to overcome. But there's one thing about this. It's still Oakland. I mean, it's still Oakland. So I think this is... I think we're looking at 3-1. I might be wrong on the Rangers game, but I like it. I think we're looking at 3-1, maybe 4-0. And if that happens, I will record versus Vegas for Monday morning's edition of Doug Franz Unplugged. And that'll be a classic because we're sticking it right to Steve McCollum on the main event when we crush versus Vegas tomorrow. The curse is over. The curse is over. Thank you very much. Now, in all seriousness, thank you. All of our troops, all of our veterans, we get a day off Monday because your brothers, your sisters of the military either paid the ultimate sacrifice or lived a life of honor after they were willing to pay the ultimate price. Thank you to those families that have sacrificed so much for the greatest country in the history of the planet. Please enjoy your weekend. Please don't drink and drive, but please, as a member of the Unplugged Army, salute the real Army, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, and our Navy. Please take a minute to make sure your kids understand what this country means and tell them a story, even if you have to look it up, whether it's about Lexington and Concord, whether it's about Shiloh, whether it's about Vietnam, whether it's about trench warfare in World War I, whether it's about the Battle of the Bulge, the USS Arizona, or something in Korea, which I admit I don't know. Maybe I should look it up. I know a ton of American history. I don't know a lot about the Korean War. Or whether it's a story on Pat Tillman, the War on Terror, or what we're doing right now internationally. Why not? Why not let your kids know that they live in the greatest country in the history of the world because of the sacrifices of Americans? That's the way we become a better nation. And I think that is a good way to keep your enlistment going in the Unplugged Army. So thank you very much to all of our troops that are giving us this great weekend off. I want to thank Bell's Nashville Kitchen, the home of the greatest sandwich in the state of Arizona, the Nashville Hot Chicken Sandwich. The official sports bar of Doug Franz Unplugged is Rosati's, which is at Ray and McQueen and only the one at Ray and McQueen in Chandler. If you're interested in a great, great golf food, swing by Burrito Express on your way to Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. I say go full on and get the Burrito Supreme. But last week I got the burrito, the breakfast burrito. Oh my gosh. With the chorizo. Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Still plenty of tee times available over the weekend at Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. And we're officially getting hot. Make sure you get on the Parker Family Plan to get your air conditioning checked. That's 602-2-REPAIR, 602 the number 2, then REPAIR for Parker and Sons. Jeff Weir Production, have a great weekend even though you're working. Ah! The main event with Steve and Izzy is up next. Thanks for listening to Doug Franz Unplugged. I'll see you Monday, kind of.